This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
mall to watch this event.
Exactly. And of course, later, we're also going to see some of the images, possibly of those who are protesting. But again, protests have always been also part of this process, isn't it, Jim? Regardless of who becomes president.
Oh, yes. I mean, Richard Nixon went through this twice back in the 70s with his inaugurations. George W. Bush in 2001, who won a divided election when he lost the popular vote, faced some protests coming in. But this may be the starkest so far we've seen. And again, presents a challenge to the new incoming president and an opportunity for him to reach out and try to build on his support.
Yeah, in a mirror, it kind of just makes you wonder what message he may give from that podium, as we now can look at it, to America, and especially to those who are out there protesting who may not have given him his full support.
Well, this is what we're watching to see. You know, will this be a series of tweets that we've become all too familiar with? Or will this be the type of you know, bringing right now a divided country together in a way that could be very powerful?
And of course,
so we have to see how the speech unfolds.
Yeah, is that the youngest son of Donald
Trump?
That's
Barron.
Barron is right there. And the family, you know, we've stayed on the family for quite a while because it's very significant. It's very significant. It's the first family. First children were going to play a big role. But there we see, you know, here the cheers are definitely for the first family there, I can imagine. But Jim, again, we don't know what's going to be in the speech. We don't know what's going to be in the speech. But of course, over the, you know, the history of the United States, the speeches have, you know, are things people anticipate highly. How significant have they been?
I think this is quite a moment because we haven't had much in the way of firm plans from Donald Trump, how he wants to tackle the economy, national security, outreach to the world. We may get some detail, but inaugural addresses generally tend to be broader, thematic. We're told his spokesman saying it's going to be philosophical, talking about what it means to be an American. We expect to hear he wants to make America great again. We hope to hear some more details how he wants to do that. But he looks as though he's coming in as a man of action, wants to get right to work to make some changes in the country. And he was elected to bring change. We should emphasize that.
Looks like among those supporters incoming president, some veterans there. Amira, though, talking about you know, the speeches and of course the expectations. If you give these comparisons, you know, with especially where you come from on the continent of Africa, where we come from, you know, you get the sense that there's a lot of thought that goes into it, right?
Well, you know, it's such a historic event, right? The inaugural speech of a president, it's something that is lasting for generations. People will be referencing that inauguration address. So you hope that it will be, you know, kind of conveyed with the significance and the seriousness that it demands, right? But we've seen them. There have been many different versions of how Donald Trump communicates to the public, and some have been incendiary and some have been much more conciliatory. So we'll have to see. You know, we're told that the speech was written by him in many ways, so we'll have to see what we get.
But as they say, shortly, every president brings in something, kind of adds on to the tradition. Jimmy, in terms of, you know, tradition, there have been, you know, different things that happened during the inauguration day, but historically, the day was never meant to be really like a day-long event. This was not necessarily meant to take that long.
It's evolved over time into quite an elaborate ceremony of pomp and decorum. There's a
That's
great shot
president.
There of Hillary Clinton and former President George W. Bush as they await the introductions to come.
Bill Clinton, former President
Bill Clinton, of course.
Right there.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, this is the first really presidential moment for any incoming president, so it's an important moment to seize, and Donald Trump is known to seize the spotlight with his background in show business. And so I think there's quite a bit of eagerness and anticipation in what he's going to say and in his tone. Yeah. We get a different tone sometimes during his Twitter feeds during the transition.
Yeah. So just as we wait also to get to our reporters, Amira, you know, a day-long event, literally a day-long event. It's like a festival. Is this something that we have witnessed, anything closer to that in, you know, say, in Africa, any country?
Well, you know, the inaugurations on the Africa side happen in many different ways. I mean, we saw just yesterday in terms of the Gambian election that, you know, it was quite a different affair happening in Senegal. But that's not the norm. I mean, inaugurations are festive, and they are opportunities to bring the country
first
together.
First Lady
Michelle Obama, who many see as not only the first African-American First Lady, but really a true representative of the best that America can be. So, yeah, there are already talks of, will she run in the future?
She says no.
But,
just so we can cut away a little bit to the First Lady, Michelle Obama, arriving there, Jim.
Along with Dr. Jill Biden, who's Vice President Biden's wife.
Yes, and we will soon, of course, be expecting also to see others like Vice President Joe Biden, but now First Lady and the wife of the Vice President arriving there, walking down the steps there. Who's there in the front, Jim? I'm not sure.
It looks like an escort committee. But the last one, of course, to be introduced, we'll see, will be the president-elect. Yeah. He'll come after President Obama and Vice President Biden.
I
think it's beautiful seeing Dr. Jill Biden. She has been, you know, holding up the banner for education and really being a strong advocate for education. And we were told this morning that she and her husband will be on a train to Delaware after the ceremony. So the Vice President has come is the way that he will leave today on the train to the neighboring state of Delaware.
Yeah, I have to say that I think Dr. Biden has been almost working very quietly as she pushes the education agenda. And there we see...
That's the designate for Secretary of Energy, Rick Perry, the former Texas governor, along with other notables on the platform, as, again, we await the introductions of the sitting president and the next president-to-be.
It's amazing. Well, Amira, we talk about this...
Well, and we have to say that's Bernie Sanders.
He ran a really, really tough campaign. He lost, but his supporters were very passionate, Jim.
Absolutely. Bernie Sanders, an independent senator who ran as a standard bearer for the Democratic Party.
Okay, the first lady.
Vice President Dr. Jill Biden, escorted by the Democratic staff director of the United States Senate Committee on Rules and Administration, Kelly Fado, Ms. Irish Weinshall, and Mr. Paul Pelosi.
Official introduction of the First Lady, Michelle Obama, the wife of the Vice President, Joe Biden.
Her usual grace and dignity.
It is. It's kind of an amazing occasion to witness.
Michelle Obama really evolved into one of the most popular First Ladies in recent memory. Her activist campaigns on getting America healthy and the grace and dignity that was hailed not only by Democrats, but by Republicans as well. And she has quite a legacy as First Lady.
She has a legacy, and some have found her very likable. In fact, Amira, some were suggesting to her that perhaps she can consider running.
Many have been suggesting that, and she has consistently said no. Most recently in an interview with Oprah, repeating that no, she will not run. But I think what she has done is elevated the role of a First Lady to the issues that she cared about around women, girls' education, around getting kids to move and health of young people, and around Black lives. I think she has been quite extraordinary, both on domestic and...
You think she had a bigger challenge being a first Black First Lady?
I think she rose to that challenge magnificently, without a doubt.
You know, now I want to also bring in our viewers, Esther Githu-Ewart. She's coming to us live. She joins us from our rooftop that overlooks the U.S. Capitol where all this is happening. Welcome, Esther.
Thank you, Vincent.
Now, you've been covering this. Tell us first what you're seeing and in view of what you've been, you know, covering over the period of time as regards, you know, the African audience.
You know, Vincent, it's been very interesting. This was a very contentious campaign. As you know, Donald Trump has now won this election, and Africans are optimistic, actually. Although there's a mixed reaction with Africans that I've spoken to over this past week, telling me some of them are very hopeful that President-elect Trump will do better for Africa than they have seen. For example, I met an Ethiopian woman who said they hope that the Trump presidency will shift its focus from the other U.S. administrations previously, who actually dealt with Ethiopian government as a democracy government. But she tells me they hope that the Trump presidency will shift the focus because they see Ethiopia as a dictatorial government where there are no freedoms of expression, human rights. Others from Burundi, I met one this morning on my way to the office saying the region in the Central Africa area is, you know, is in turmoil.
Esther, let me just interrupt you a little bit. We see that the incoming First Lady, Melania Trump, arriving and again being escorted there. Jim, what do you make of this? It's beautiful. The scene.
Yes, and certainly Melania Trump, not a lot of people know a lot about her. The country and the world will get to know her better. She's been fairly quiet during the transition period. It's not known what issues she may want to focus on, but she's certainly going to make you know, her presence felt, I think. And certainly in terms of fashion, she's already making a fashion statement.
Everybody's talking about it. Now, she's the, is it the second First Lady to be from a kind of a foreign country?
Well, she's the latest. I mean, it starts back in the early 1800s with the wife of John Quincy Adams, Louisa, who was born in Britain. So this is not unprecedented that we've had a First Lady who was born outside the country.
And, of course, our country, Slovenia, is very excited about. So the lady, you know, First Lady, incoming First Lady, Melania Trump, just in them. So Esther, if you're still up there on the roof, I mean, if you still can hear me,
I
mean, looking at all these events, obviously you get the sense that those on the continent of Africa watching this, they kind of just wish that, you know, despite of all the acrimony that accompanies, you know, political competitions, there can be this kind of graceful transfer of power, right?
They wish it can be that way. We haven't seen much of that, especially when you look at Central Africa, where the strong men of Africa want to remain in power. And certainly, those are some of the issues. I had a discussion with a man from Burundi saying he hopes a Trump presidency will shift its focus and talk directly to those African strongmen, say in Burundi, in Rwanda, in Congo, and tell them if your time is up, it's up. Look at what we've witnessed today with President Obama and President-elect riding in the same car, talking and laughing and chatting. That is the kind of democracy most Africans want to see. However, there have been mixed reactions, some saying they're not very optimistic, others saying they're very optimistic. We saw what happened with the George Bush presidency. Many people did not expect much from President George Bush, but he did very well for Africa, Vincent.
Okay, if I may interrupt, you see there President Barack Obama, Vice President Joe Biden arriving there and soon. We'll see them being introduced officially, but we can see them walking through together.
The last official act of the 44th president of the United States, and by tradition, he helps to preside over the inauguration of his successor. This is a moment in American history we've witnessed time and again since 1789. And by most accounts, the transition period between the two men, Barack Obama and Donald Trump, has been cordial by President Obama's own description. And substantive. So he is about to hand over the reins of power.
Yes, being led there by, or rather walking, just right behind the leaders of the Congress. As they come in, Emira, you know, Africans are watching with a lot of interest, especially citizens, but also African leaders. Do you think anybody ever looks at this kind of ceremony, this kind of event, and learns from it? Do you think they there's a sense of, like, we could do this in our country and start the history of peaceful transfers of power.
I think we are doing it around the continent, right? You know, clearly there are anomalies like the Gambia, right? We have to say there are some clear anomalies. And all of the leaders wanting to change constitutions in the Central Africa region are clear anomalies. But we have seen increased turn towards fair, peaceful, open
and out of 54 countries, can you count like five on your hand that you could say?
Well, I know all of the West African governments have been, except for the Gambia now, right, have come to power through a peaceful transfer through the electoral process. And there have been, you know, with some pomp and circumstance.
So things are changing. And as
inaugural celebrations like this that all of the country can come together to celebrate. So I think we are moving towards that on the continent. Throughout, and you have again North Africa, some changes that are needed. but steps in the right direction, I think we have to say.
And as Jim mentioned, actually,
and the Vice President, Joseph R. Biden, escorted by Senate Democratic Secretary Gary Myrick, Senate Democratic Leader and Rules Committee Ranking Member Charles E. Schumer, and House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi.
Yes, so once again.
Barack Obama has looked out at this scene before, four years ago and eight years ago, and each time it was for him. It's got to be a little bit melancholy, a little bit bittersweet, because this is the last time he'll look out at that kind of view.
And he's looking at it and saying, this is not my crowd, but they're fellow Americans.
Yes, and he's made that clear in the last few weeks. He's still optimistic about where the country's headed and leaves the office upbeat.
Well, I do have to mention that
I think you see even his farewell speech, right, trying to bring the country together, trying to lay out the set of values that the country needs in moving forward, you know, to think about issues like the climate, regardless of who's in office, to be able to protect the climate, to be able to bring about justice and justice reform. Some of these issues that he in his administration has worked towards, I think it was extraordinary in terms of the farewell address to include those. So, it must be sort of
president
melancholy today.
Exchange greetings with the
lighter
president
moment
that
there
he
with George W. Bush and Barack Obama.
It's great just to see all these former presidents talking to each other.
You know, and it's reassuring to Americans and to the world. Again, this is something we've done every 4 years, but when the personalities are able to interact the way we're seeing, I do think even in this divided political time, it is a sense of reassurance.
Now, when it comes to Africa, clearly Barack Obama came 8 years ago with this huge enthusiasm and lots of support throughout the continent. And, you know, a lot of those hopes, some have said, have been dashed.
The hopes were too high. People expected too much.
The historic symbolism of someone whose father is Kenyan,
but we have to hear the cheers there. I don't know what they're saying, but
Barack, Barack, Barack.
It's interesting to know that, he goes out as a very popular president, right?
Oh, he is one of the most popular presidents, both coming in and going out.
Coming through the incoming president, Donald Trump, and now walking just right behind Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, and other leaders from...
Escorted by the Republican leaders in Congress who will try to implement his agenda.
Exactly. And so this is a very, I think, a somber moment, too. It's just about to cross that line from being a president-elect to the president of the United States to take full responsibility for whatever happens in the coming years in this country. So this is, I believe, that when it goes back that way, it will not be president-elect.
Well, we see him walking down the stairs now out toward the platform, and you got to wonder what's he's thinking.
What is he thinking?
the burdens have got to be there, the responsibilities he's now undertaking. Yes. And it's a shot of him, for those listening on radio, of him alone as he is about to move out onto the platform.
Exactly. You can see a very serious kind of expression on his face. You can sense the feel of the weight of the responsibility of being president. And things change now from being a president-elect, former, candidate to president. Amira.
Well, he's going to take that oath of office, and then he becomes president of the United States, president number 45. And it is the significance
Ladies
of that job.
Vice President-elect Michael Richard Pence.
Well, there comes...
His Vice President, Mike Pence, making his way out now after being announced. He'll take over for Joe Biden.
And he's not a stranger, especially to Capitol Hill.
No, should be a great help to the Trump administration, former congressman and Indiana governor.
Former member of Congress, but also quite conservative, and so probably a leader of the conservative movement, both within Congress and outside of Congress. And you will see that very strongly reflected in decisions that come out of the vice president's office. You'll probably even see a stronger role for the vice president than in previous administrations. Donald Trump has made it clear that Vice President Pence will take on leadership in ways that are perhaps extraordinary and historic.
Because he has an understanding of how Washington functions. We know that the incoming president has been more in the world of business.
Just greeted Hillary Clinton, by the way, on the platform there.
And incoming First Lady Ivanka. And then we see him, now kind of joining his side.
This is the moment Trump supporters have waited for a long time.
This is it, to see their candidate